Huzzah.
Welcome to a new episode of Stuck at Home with me, Cliff Dorfman, and this guy.
How is this thing working on the internet yet? How does the internet work? Hello? Can you see me? Son? Can you see me?
I'm here for comic relief, folks.
This is Jason. This is the show that
Jason Smith.
Where we talk about, where we watch, we like love shows and TV and stuff, and like we want you to like it too.
I'm going to finish my sentence and then you can continue making fun of me. We also tell you all about the streaming wars, what to stream it and what to stream and where to stream it. You see, you and your movement, Sonny, you're messing me up.
Huh?
I'm old and I fear change.
We had some technical difficulties leading into this today, folks. I just want to let everybody know that we're here. We're excited. Cliff Dorfman, what are you watching besides the mailman steal all your roses?
Let's just be clear. All that happened was...
Have you yelled at the moon lately?
All that happened was I went to sign on and it said fucking cam twist. I was like, and I just FaceTimed Jason. I was like, Jason, what do I do? Because I can't find my camera. And this has led to all of this. So, you know what? And by the way, everyone knows I don't watch the news. You know, everyone knows it's been 8 years. I don't read a paper. But today is a special day in general, right? I mean, there was big change today.
Yep. Trump saw a shadow, and now there will be 8 more weeks of Mar-a-Lago. I don't know what Mar-a-Lago is.
It's the most beautiful resort in the world. It's the Mar-a-Lago is the biggest, bestest place. What do you win on The Apprentice? You win a trip to Mar-a-Lago.
You get to play golf.
Anything, all the winnings in The Apprentice were about promoting whatever he owned. He's like the most beautiful golf course in the world, the best.
I want to get on The Apprentice so I can win all the Trump stakes because I want to throw them at cars. Anyway,
right, but it's a big day.
It's a big day. It's our inauguration day. It's very exciting. We get, which is awesome. We got a very exciting guest today.
That's what I'm talking about. And I've been watching for a bit now. I've been watching The Oval, and there's so many things. I got to tell you, this show is, it's like, it's probably like a mix between if you got addicted to meth and heroin with a little mushrooms. This is the craziest, most salacious show. And you're watching it. The opening scene, from the opening scene, Tyler Perry sets you up to know, like, it's like basically when Orson Welles flipped the frame and you watch the upside down thing. And Orson Welles is like, you're going to go into this really messed up world now. And here it is. This is the same thing, except he does it with action. And I have gotten addicted to this show. And the other thing that's great, they put out 25 episodes. Not 22, not 10, not 13, 25.
Yeah. That's one score plus five for all those presidential people.
I thought it, two score.
One score.
I thought a score is 10 years.
Oh, am I wrong?
Probably not. No, you're probably not. I'm probably wrong, as we've already established from the get today. But I'm telling you,
speak your language, old man.
I'm telling you, though, that this show, The Oval on BET, I'm pretty sure it's BET Plus. Our guest today, he's been working forever, one day at a time, Eureka. He doesn't stop working, right? And now he lands the role of the president of the United States. And Tyler, of course, flips it on his ear because he's married to a black woman who went to Ivy League. But we'll get into all this. But, oh, their kids are just the worst. Oh, my. I love this show.
Get off my lawn. Quit trying to get in my pool in the middle of the night. I swear to God, I'm gonna electric fire.
Jason thinks I'm a grandpa, is what he's saying. Also, earlier, he commented that my son's mom and I share the same apparel. But let me tell you, this is official Hellcat gear from my buddy Corey in New York. And this thing is not messing around. I'm gonna get. But like, meanwhile, I've gotten is abuse. So I'm okay with it, though. I got tough skin. But I'm very, very excited to get to our guest because I feel like we're so fortunate to have the synergy of having Joe Quinn here today, Mr. President, on the Oval. What did I say?
Joe, for some reason.
What did I say? I said Joe?
Yes.
This is a horrible day for me, a great day for America.
Listen, Mr. Biden, I'm just kidding.
No, we have it. And I'm telling you, I've watched this guy one day at a time. I watched this guy in Eureka. Eureka is a crazy show, by the way.
I love Eureka. Yeah. And I loved one day at a time, too.
I was pissed when they took him. Well, I guess he decided to leave. There was a lot of articles about this guy going. So should I stop talking about him and bring him on?
Yeah, talk to him.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest today from The Oval, Tyler Perry's The Oval on BET+, Ed Quinn. Yes. Hey, Ed, don't hate me.
No, I love it. I was waiting for it's going to be Ed Biden or Joe Quinn.
I said Joe. Well, at least you understand why I said it.
Absolutely. Hey, synergy. You're talking about it. It's the inauguration. So absolutely. As I said, he stole my spotlight. I've just been sitting around petulant all day long because, you know, like the real, you know, president gets to have his inauguration and the real vice president gets, you know, so, I've had to take a back seat today. But, you know, as of tomorrow, no, it's all Hunter Franklin all the time.
Yes, Hunter Franklin all day long. And I can't wait to get into this. But first of all, thank you for being here. I am thrilled. You were in Los Angeles?
I'm in Los Angeles. I have a question right off the bat. Question. The title track of your podcast. Who played that?
Yeah. Oh, Jason, come back. Tell him. We love this. We're obsessed with it, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. I mean, it's way better than this podcast. That's why I'll never live up to that song. Yeah. I've already been upstaged by the intro. So I'm just kind of like,
Says that's what our producer. I mean, it's way tighter. You're right. Everything's actually going right.
Much better in the song than here.
That's our producer, Kyle McGraw. He made that for us.
Metal. I love it. That was just fantastic.
Ed studied. You studied with Joe Satriani.
I did. Yeah, I'm sitting. In my music studio right now, and it was hilarious that came on. I'm like going, wow, these guys do that. This is really good. This is hilarious. But anyway, thank you for having me on. And one real quick fix, we are BET. I think you can get The Oval on the streamer on BET+, but they actually really kind of hold our episodes back. We are the number one rated show in the history of BET. We're definitely the number one new show on cable, and we're really hoping to, like, keep those numbers in February 16th.
It's not going anywhere. No, this is not going anywhere.
Your lips, God's ears, but I don't think so either. I don't think anyone would want to lose Tyler Perry on their network.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, yes, it's that, but it's also that it's the timing. It's the, and it's not that it wouldn't have been successful in any other timing. It's simply, is that it? Are you done with me?
No,
I'm done.
All of a sudden, I was just kind of going, like, my phone's off, and like the cross thing. I you know, hey, I'm an actor, bro. I'm like worried about like my light or like my frame.
I love you. By the way, we have to smoke Cubans when this is all over. That's all I'm saying. Oh,
please. I got some good ones too. We'll have. Where are you guys?
I'm in Calabasas. Jason's in the Valley.
Oh, you know, actually, the one place I do smoke a lot of cigars is at playing golf with friends of mine who play golf. I'm not very good.
I see.
But I'll bring some mean cigars. So that's why the only reason they have me along. They're like three really good guys and the big gorilla who just hacks the balls into the woods. But he's got the Cubans, so it's all good.
So I got a nice box coming of Oyo Epicura number twos. I'm telling you, when this is all over, I'm holding you to this. We're going to have a nice scotch and smoke these.
Done and done.
All right. So let's get back for a second, because I want to just start with where you started, really, because you went to Berkeley, right? I mean, this is not a joke. You were really, you're on a path. Did you know from going to Berkeley that you wanted to model? Like, it's an interesting trajectory you've had.
Oh, absolutely not. No. I grew up in an academic family. My father was a professor at Cal, and he's actually won the Distinguished Teaching Award. He started the College of Writing. He was a Rhodes Scholar. We're talking, we are a serious academic family. And his friends, and not to sound like kind of Tony or highbrow, but I mean, these were his true buddies, were presidents of universities, chairmen of the Department at Berkeley, Nobel laureates like Czesław Miłosz. I mean, it was, I was in this, and then Berkeley, just growing up, Berkeley was just the, I mean, there was nothing like it, and there never will be something like it. Imagine being a kid in the 70s and 80s. And so I didn't understand how you even got into entertainment. I didn't know anyone in entertainment. We had no family, friends. It was just this kind of thing that sort of happened.
Berkeley with your degree, which is not in entertainment. And how does this happen?
Okay, I'll tell you, I thought I was going to law school. And then guys who were graduating early in my fraternity came back and were like, do not do this, go somewhere else. This is brutal. So I had segued and was going to go into commercial real estate, and I'd taken, was taking some commercial real estate courses. I got way ahead in my history degree. So I was able to start taking courses at Berkeley and did an internship, a Coldwell Banker, and was just about to go. And it was about maybe the last semester I was at Cal. You know, I'm a surfer and I'm at Ocean Beach, San Francisco, and I'm changed out of my wetsuit. And this guy walks up to me and goes, hi. How would you like to take some pictures, some Molly pictures?
I love this.
Which is, yeah, I mean, it's basically the after school special of, like, you know, how to get sex trafficked. Is like, you know, oh yeah, I'm gonna go get this guy's van and go back to his studio in the Castro and take some shirtless. It's gonna go great.
Yeah, you with half the wetsuit, come over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't even get dressed. Let's head back in my studio. Drink this.
It's fine.
So. I know. Now, here's the deal. Yes. A bunch of guys at Cal, actually, and two of my really good friends, had modeling. It's like every guy who came from SoCal was a surfer and had a modeling book. And I'm sitting here parking cars at Casa Arenda four nights a week to make ends meet. And they go over to San Francisco, and in 2 hours, they get paid $300. Imagine being a college student getting $150 an hour, or sometimes $1,500 a day to take pictures and clothes. So I was always really dumb to them. By the way, still didn't have any understanding how they started that. That's something that happens in LA, and then you get all these pictures. So the next thing I know, I do take the pictures of the guy. He actually is like a good photographer. And I get an agency, it was Look Models in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And so my last semester, I was kind of doing both. But I'm still basically going like, I'm going to start this internship. And I get a call on my agent in LA, and my agent in San Francisco got me an agent in LA. The two of them had sent all my pictures overseas, and I got booked straight into the shows in Barcelona, Milan, and Paris. And all I had to
straight
do was get
into
there,
the fashion shows?
Straight into the, and like all Jesus. The biggest ones. And so it was like, I'm like sitting there going like, oh my God, but I've got to get to Europe. That was the thing, is they don't pay your way. You've got to get there. You got to figure it all out. And remember, this is like pre-internet, pre-email. It's just like someone calls you and goes, yes, darling, please get to Milano. We got you for Versace. We'll see you in 3 days. You got a little piece of paper with his address written on it. Right, and, right.
We're the same age. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, when I went to my parents, I was like, hey, I got like booked to jobs in Europe, and I'd always kind of wanted to study abroad for a semester, and I could just never quite work it out. And my dad had done a lecture tour on the old TWA Airlines, and he had miles. He gave me a miles ticket. Like, how long are you going to go for? I go, I have no idea. And then I went, and that's kind of where the penny dropped. Because when I got there, I mean, I was a horrible model, big, fat frat face, you know, all gymmed up, you know, I mean, it was not a fashion model. But what I was pretty good at were commercials. And so while all my friends,
that for a second, by the way, not for 1 second,
all my friends were doing real well. I mean, I got some Molly jobs. I'm not gonna say I didn't get any, but I didn't get the jobs. I had friends who got the jobs, and they were the fancy guys, you know, shooting the Armani and shooting the Versace and stuff. And I was Joe Meathead. But I also, the thing was, is I think I shot something like 37 commercials in 2 years. I ended up being there for 2 years. And that's where I figured out
international commercials, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In Europe, like for Europe. And I it was that thing where you all of a sudden realize, I'm like, oh wait, so I kind of work okay on film. You know, my modeling book's atrocity, but film, I'm actually kind of doing pretty good. And then I would talk to these guys, and they were building their books to move back to LA to take acting classes and try and make it. And guys were doing it. They would come, a lot of them were just getting soaps and stuff. But I mean, a few of them ended up breaking big, you know. So like Josh Holloway, a friend of mine, you know, I mean, it's like it could happen, it could work. And that was sort of my segue into all of a sudden, like, wow, I'm just gonna make a run at this. And
now here we are.
And here we are 30 years later.
Right. And how many shows down? And somewhere along the line, you met your wife, Heather, right? Who's a producer?
Yep. Yeah. She was president at Will Smith's television company, actually, when I met her.
Oh, okay. So no small feat there.
No.
And you guys are high level achievers. All right. This is good to know. So now.
She was. I was just a dumbass and sort of like, you know, I was her big mistake. So that's all.
Yeah. Okay. No one's buying any of this, by the way, Ed. I'm just telling you. So I want to know how, because you've been doing this a while, right? So the auditions come, you know, frequently. I'm sure at this point you're getting offers too. Now, do you get an offer for this? You have to go in and meet with Tyler Perry and really kind of, you know, carve this role out for yourself.
So I get a phone call.
Okay, tell me. Give it.
From I think it was from my manager. Uh-huh. And he prefaces this by going like, this is an incoming call.
Ooh, that's always good.
They want to see you for the lead of Tyler Perry's new series on BET.
Okay.
And I'm kind of doing the math, and I'm going, are you sure they got the right Ed Quinn? I mean, maybe there's like, you know, like, there's like a theater dude in like New York. You know, I'm kind of thinking.
There are a lot of Jason Smith. Not all of them look like me. I get that feeling. You're like, there's probably another one.
Am I going to walk in there and everybody's going to be like, hey bro, you lost? I'm here to read for the new Tyler Perry series on BET. Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, I think you're in the wrong place, sir.
So I go in, and it's just me and Raven, the casting director, and who I'd read for before. And so I'm like, okay. And I kind of read this one scene.
Right?
This is in L.A.
In Atlanta.
And she goes, and she does this, like, wait 1 second. She goes out. She comes back and goes, can you read another scene? And I'm like, cold? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right. She hands it to me. I kind of look at it, and I'm like, and we do that one. Uh-huh. She goes, hold on. Walks out, comes back in. She goes, are you available? And I'm like,
is Tyler like watching from some secret camera somewhere? Like,
I get to my truck and my phone rings, and it's like a Georgia number. I'm like, hello? And it's like, good. And it's Tyler.
Oh, it's Tyler.
And I'm like, huh.
So cool.
Well, I don't know. So he still won't tell me what was going on or what the deal was. But anyway, and that was it. And then he and I, you know, what was cool was, is that, and the whole, at that point, it became a conversation between he and I. And he just wanted to understand, like, what kind of an actor I am, how I work, my sensibility, my ability to really grind. Because Tyler works unlike, and I've done a lot of projects where it was like, okay, we have to shoot like 9 pages in, you know, 2 days. And we literally got one take, and we're running and gunning. And we have like, you know, a powder donut and like one camera. And there's like a flashlight. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've shot low budget stuff. That moves fast because you have to.
Right.
But Tyler, you know, his whole one of his, you know, main things is to shoot super fast. And a lot of actors can be precious. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a process. Thank you. They have a process. And you know, going fast isn't, you know, not always conducive to going quickly.
Yes. Agreed.
And the more we talk and the more it was almost like a challenge. The more I was just, every time he would kind of like going, so, you know, this is kind of like what I like to do and what I need to do. And I'd be like, ha, that sounds fantastic. And he's going, okay. Okay. And by the way, it really was. I mean, you know, like within the second or third day, he would stop after a take. He goes, oh, I'm so glad I hired you. Cause it's really fun. I love the challenge of the way he likes to shoot. I love the way he runs a set.
Are you doing like 9 pages a day with him?
My record is 70 pages, 36 scenes from 16 different episodes in one day.
You remember that movie Bowfinger?
Wait, sorry, Jason. That's insane. Go ahead, Jason.
You remember that movie Bowfinger with
the best?
That's what it reminds me of. Like Steve all Martin. The pages. Like that's how Bowfinger would shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like literally it's been there was times where he, like, you don't even realize what's coming because, and they're always jumping around too. So you kind of got to have the whole season in your mm-hmm. head because they'll all of a sudden call you and they'll go like, hey, we're gonna do these next 3 scenes. And you're like, that's 12, 13 pages. And then, and they'll finish one. But like, say, like when I go to the Oval Office, we shoot in the Oval Office, right. It's 3 days. And I basically sprained my brain because I am trying to remember so many words and so many things. And you're flying through this. And, but he's got to process the way he shoots, shooting everything right. Wide, jumping in for coverage. He shoots in 8K. So, I mean, he can be across the room and turn that into a close up.
Wow.
It's really, yeah, he's like a symphony conductor because he's editing the whole time as he's watching everything, knows what he has, knows what he needs. His editors, by the way, I mean, I think I've had to loop two lines in two seasons. I mean,
come on.
The production. No, the production. The way that he's able to get, you know, all the foot. I've never had to do a reshoot because we didn't get something. We needed something. Only two things we reshot was the opening of the series and the inauguration, because he saw them and didn't and thought they should be bigger, which is really rare for him. He never reshoots. But those are the only two things we reshot. And that was just because first season, huge, right, you know, set pieces, and he wanted to get it right. But
the opening, let's just take a minute to talk. I mean, we can talk about the opening of the pilot, right? That's not a spoiler. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a moment of silence for my career, but yeah, no, go ahead.
Can add.
Yeah, in memoriam. Right. Like at the Emmys, you know, when actors have passed away, my name just goes up. Like, he's still alive, but no, we're done. We're euthanizing that guy.
Oh my God. Okay. So, like, first of all, if you don't know, all right, you know, you're watching The Oval. Most people are tuning in know it, but they definitely don't know at this point when you open up on you and your wife that it's the first lady, that it is the president and the first lady, and you guys get into this fist fight. I mean, this is a brutal, brutal fist fight where she is punching you in the face. You're whacking her in the. I've not seen an opening like this in my life. How do you even, because, you know, I would think someone's going, is this going to be controversial? Is this going to be like, and what are you putting into it? Like when you're, yeah, go.
No, me, I'm the one. I'm like, you know, I'm reading it kind of like, I'm the one like, oh, this is the end of my career. God, I got that degree from Berkeley. And yeah. see if I could call up Cole Banker and go, hey, I remember I was going to do that internship in 91 and I went modeled.
I can see.
Can I still get in there? It was $2,000 a week, right? $2,000 a month. Ooh, that's going to be tight. All right.
Yeah.
No, I was terrified. I thought I was done. And the worst part was, is we shot it and I kind of shot it. So I kind of was just getting my ass kicked. And it worked okay. And then Tyler wanted it bigger, more violent, more crazy, basically what you see in the final thing. And the worst, funniest part of it is,
it's so insane.
Is he changed the wardrobe right before we started filming. Like I was in like the tux with shirt undone, but then he decided he wanted, like, they kept changing. He goes, that's it. Me, like, pants, wife beater. And we look over at the stunt guy they'd hired. We do not have the same body. He's got a ton of tattoos. Got kind of the big, hairy, you know, and it was just like, that's not going to match. And then Ty looks at me and goes, can you do it? And I'm sitting there, I can do my own stunts. I'd be like Tom Cruise. Demita Jane is the stunt woman. Mm-hmm. She just looked at me beforehand. She goes, so sorry. And just beat the living hell out of me. Well, she hits
really
me with that picture.
Makeup guy.
Oh, she smashes the picture and then she rips it and it just comes and rips up the back of my head. I mean, like when she hits you with that, you know, okay, this is because, you know, like, here's the thing. All these actors say, you know, like they do their own stunts. They don't. Because when the stunt guys do it, they're playing for keeps with each other and they know it's going to be a full contact kind of vibe. When you really hit someone with one of those breakaway vases like she does, right, you don't like go, like this, you go through. So there's a smack on, and so like getting hit with the vase is the one thing. It's the ear smack on, beat the crap out of me. But looks great. Now to granted, I thought my career was going to be over.
But you had Tyler's stamp of approval. He knew that this is going to work.
Oh, Tyler. Oh, yeah. I mean, stamp of approval. He kept yelling at me because I was being, you know, I was being a little wuss and I wouldn't go far enough. And he's like, no, Oh, God. I probably shouldn't even say this. I'm gonna edit my feel. He was very disappointed with my inability to hit a woman. So,
right, like, how do you not know how to do this? Like, come on,
how do you not? Haven't you good looked at that? Yeah, and I'm just like, oh my God, Googling it, how to bitch slap,
and then erasing your history. Just delete this history, please. Yeah, thank you.
Protective services come to my house. They're like, so.
Yeah, we've been looking. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, one of my favorite shows is Veep. I know this is something that you like. Selena Myers, I heard, might be you started out with her as a basis for this, and then Tyler kind of smacked it out of you, or what happened? Because
Okay.
I love what you're doing, but I want to know how he got there. So look,
there was, you know, it's funny because Tyler hired me and then realized he kind of hired a bit of a runaway train. And although I'll do the dark stuff and I'll do the sexy salacious stuff and all that kind of stuff. But in some of the scenes, I think Veep is, it's like Veep and Breaking Bad are the two greatest television shows in the history of television, in my opinion.
No argument.
There's something about Veep. I think Veep is more, I love The West Wing. I don't really think real politics, I think as of on the inauguration day, we can agree, real politics are not The West Wing. Real politics are more like Veep.
For sure.
But there are, that show just killed me. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And so I just would have these moments in which I would want to basically bring that to Hunter's character, because I think it actually really works. And it actually creates, when I'm funny or just completely insane or saying something ridiculous or ad-libbing. And this is the thing is, Tyler kind of likes it when I would ad-lib. Huh. And some of it would be like, in the big inauguration where, I think, what is my beautiful wife say? She says, "Oh, I see you brought your whore." And I go,
"I knew you were going to say that line."
President gets a plus one. That was an ad lib. And I said it once for fun, just being a jackass. The next time I didn't say it, and in front of 600 people, Tyler's on a microphone and goes, "Yo, where was that ad lib? Shit was funny. Do that." So it was stuff like that. So I just kept doing stupid stuff like that. Like we could go to the West Wing and would throw stuff out. He didn't want it jokey. But then as we watched the show, I think he, because season two, he lets me be stupid like a lot. But also actually even darker. So I go darker and I just have so many stupid lines. There's some really funny, which I think works great for the show. I think it gives a break in the tension. Also, I think it makes Hunter more unstable and unpredictable for the other characters, for the cat. When he's creating problems for everybody else.
Yes.
The show is great. And so, it's like when it was for, especially like for Donald or for Kyle, not to mention for my wife or my mistresses or my kids. So when he's kind of off the reservation, it's actually great for the show, because backstage you're cutting to these scenes where they're going, "Oh my God, what are we going to do with this guy?" And you're like, he is a runaway train. He's a complete mess.
I think it's episode 2 of the first season. You basically spell it out. One of your mistresses is like, "You're insane. I can't believe you're president." You're like, "Yeah,
and he's kind of am. Yeah, neither can I. Come over." I mean, that's his whole thing. I think it's just sort of, it's a little bit of arrested development, a little bit of he never thought he'd get here and he doesn't really want to be here. It's not like he's hungry for the power. It's not like he's, one of those Machiavellian politicians who was just like always wanted to be the most powerful man in the world. And that was he doesn't give a crap. He's like, "Oh my God, look at this. I'm like in this big white prison, and trying to call up his girlfriend and try." And, I try and humanize him from time to time. Like when he deals with the kids, he really, as best as he can, loves his mistresses. I really do think that there is an incredible bond between him and Victoria.
I agree with you. She keeps you sane.
In a weird way, but also she's crazy. We need each other. We are like literally we are the yin and the yang. Without each other, neither one of us can reach these heights. But we are completely, we're psychotic. Yes. But I just hope at some point, I'm sure we will, at some point, something is going to bring us together. Maybe it's the chaos that takes place in season two, but
I really hope so. Now I got to get into one thing, because I'm obsessed with this idea, because this studio that Tyler Perry owns in Atlanta, it's basically like you live there, right? When you're filming, it's old school contract player studio days, right? Like this thing is dope. Could you just tell me a little about this?
Okay. Tyler has a really weird thing about finding special places in the world. And, his place in Jackson Hole, he has an island that is just, and I mean, like, you know, it's one of the, fancy, but I mean, like places that have really interesting energy. And this, he bought Fort McPherson in Georgia, which was the old army base. And there is just, there's something so beautiful about it. And I mean, just like the earth, the energy or whatever. And I don't want to be all trippy hippie about it.
No, don't. I love this.
So first season, when I got there, they were like, you can live in these old. So there's a historic district. So there are these old buildings.
On the lot.
You know, and I mean, you know,
shit.
FDR stayed there. Colin Powell stayed there. I mean, these were when this was a functioning army base. This is the officers' quarters. These big, beautiful old homes. Wow. So I, first season, I was like, I want to live here. And I lived like in one by myself. Oh, turned out it was haunted. No. Everybody, including Tyler, everybody who came over to the house was like would jump from time to time and hear stuff. And we're just, you know, in the middle of the day, actors wouldn't come to rehearse unless there were people there because they didn't want to be there alone.
But I really, this was that real, like, haunted.
It was haunted. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like, the first night I got there, Tyler tells me this afterwards. Other actors have got to the lot, moved in. They wake up in the morning. The actor is gone and has gone to a hotel in Atlanta. I just couldn't do it. I got there, turned off all the lights, was like, whoop, got back, turned on the lights, was kind of like looking down this weird hallway and being like, oh man, you could feel the energy moving kind of thing. Not trippy hippie. This is, I'm being honest. So
I am trippy hippie. So please,
yeah.
I get
yeah,
this.
Yeah. No, then, I mean, this. I am like you, no one will convince me that there weren't spirits in that house, but they were good spirits. They kind of left me alone. So it was kind of cool. And I loved it. I loved being on the lot. Indian gave me this beautiful motorcycle. So my set car was this, you know, this beautiful bobber that I would ride down and go to the gym and then go work all day and ride back out. And I was cooking in my own kitchen. And I loved the South. I loved those rainy afternoons sitting on first thing. I do need anything. And I was like, one thing, can I have a rocking chair for my porch? And they're like, that's all you need. I go, that's all I want. It should be just a rocking chair. So when those beautiful southern rainstorms, summer rainstorms happen in the afternoon, the thunder showers, I can sit there and just like stare at the rain. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we can get you a rocking chair. So I never left. I left a lot twice. I went to like a soccer game and to the rap party. Never left a lot. Didn't need to. So all set up for season two in March.
Right.
We get shut down the day we're supposed to start. And then I start just talking to Tyler, and Tyler was kind of looking at me and looking at his lot and looking at me and looking at the cast and crew and looking at me. He said, and this is him telling me this. And he's just like, I can do this. I can get everybody on this lot. He built hundreds of these like luxury motorhome, like luxury bungalows. And then in the, I think there's 37, you know, old houses that he just put all the cast in. We started testing a month beforehand. We all moved down to the lot. Still lots of testing and protocols and you know, masking and you know, nobody can be indoors together. But, you know, we all got in the bubble and then we're able to shoot, you know, the second season, which comes out next, you know, there's no, we still would not have been able to, you know, to finish this series. We have the entire season in the can ready to go next month.
And it's another 25 episodes.
22. We had to go. We had to shave off three. It was housing an entire cast and crew, 330 people, is a little expensive.
I just actually, I hate to break this up. We got to let you go.
No.
I got a text from Tyler Perry. He said, "Congratulations on season two, but you have 86 pages you need to get done by tomorrow." So,
all right,
let you go.
Hey, you know what? Just put them on a prompter. Really good. That was season three. I don't have to memorize anymore. I'm in a big time season three. A prompter. I want an earpiece. You know, just gotta feed me my life.
No more just a rocking chair shit.
You want stuff. I'm bigger now. I'm the number one new show on cable. I want an earpiece. I'm gonna put a Brando on them.
Yeah, like those stories about in Superman, he just put the lines right in the baby's like crib in the diaper and stuff.
Brando
on Krypton.
Yeah. On my first series, Young Americans, two of the actors, we'd been at the upfronts the night before, and they thought it was a good idea to take in New York. We'd shoot the next morning at 6 a.m. I didn't, but some of the other actors did. They left the upfronts at 2 a.m. and drove from New York to Baltimore. As you can imagine, the cast is a disaster. I watched these two guys do a scene in which he's like, one guy's tying his tie before some, you know, cotillion, and the other actor actually taped the lines to the scene to his face. So I said, the other actor's there, he's looking up at the guy reading it. So that's, you watch situations like that and you go, you know, Hollywood magic's a little It's a little overblown. This is acting. Everybody talking about acting being precious. That's grinding out. When you're gluing your sides to another actor's face so that you can get them. Yeah. So that's what I'm gonna do this year too. Tyler's got a whole list. Oh yeah, I'm big time in that.
I love you. And I'm telling you this because I love you. I agree with Tyler. Your motorcycle is sick. Stop riding it.
Oh, he was so mad.
Stop.
That thing hadn't been on the lot for 20 minutes. What's that? I was like, what? He's like, literally. That was the deal. I was not allowed to take it. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been riding bikes my whole life, and I love them. He's like, you can't take it off the lot. And I was like, deal. I'm not going anywhere. And I didn't. I never drove it off the lot. It was just, except for once for a TMZ thing. But just cruising around the lot. I'm in a lot so beautiful. It's so big. There's these winding roads that go all the way through. It's just my best part of the day is going to and from work because it's just so gorgeous.
You're so blessed and rightly so. This show is amazing. You have a huge hit on your hands. I cannot congratulate you enough. Is it February 13th or 15th? 13th, 16th, I want to say.
Tuesday, and it's a huge night.
We're wrong.
It's a huge night, both of them. Tyler did a Madea farewell tour. And so we are getting to ride the coattails of Mr. Perry's Madea, which is going to be a live televised event. Yeah, so it's going to be a massive night on BET. We should start getting some big promotions and posters coming soon. Couldn't be more excited. And it's just a great way. I'm very, very proud of BET too. This is so smart to just give us this big send off, season two bow. And so, everything's just great. I couldn't be happier.
All right. Uh-huh. So February 16th, season two of Tyler Perry's The Oval on BET. Ed Quinn playing Hunter Franklin, the president. Mr. President, I cannot thank you enough for being here. Yeah. I absolutely love your work. I love what you do. And please just keep doing it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you so much. I love your guys. And, you know, your podcast has the best intro of any I've heard so far. So you're
thanks, brother.
You guys are rocking to the moon.
If you guys need a new one for The Oval, we got you.
I'm gonna let other people handle the music.
I'm not a part of that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I would love him.
Believe me, I would love it. But I also like being employed. So
me too.
Well, if you're big time in it, you could just say, this is my theme music coming in. I got
rocking chair and theme music.
That's like season 8. Like, I think we're playing with house money at that point.
You'll be there. Trust me. If you want to be, you'll be there. And thank you again.
Thank you so much for doing this
fun.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Ed Quinn. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, that guy.
I mean, that was the fastest, I think. And we went over.
Yep. And we went over.
Wow. He's awesome.
That was great.
Okay. I might have a bro crush.
A little bit. I could tell that you were nervous before you went in there.
I saw it. I called him Joe.
You know how I know you have a little bro crush? Because the edges of your mustaches are starting to twirl up on their own.
I mean, this guy is so cool. It's not even fair. It's like, are you kidding me? And by the way, this show, it's not a fluke. This is a real heavy hitter.
And he's not kidding that it's crazy. You guys, it's insane. It's really fun.
Yeah, like just when you think they can't go there, like in season one, no, we're going to steal the kid with a cult. By the way, that's another story. And you're like, no. And it freaks you the fuck out.
It's so
you're
awesome.
Like, what? Okay.
You know, we got to take it down just for a minute, right? Because
take it down.
And normally I like to, you know, especially on a day like today, I would like to, you know, I normally want to talk about my founding father and the Senate and the Congress, when I get to this part, because it is Inauguration Day, but I'm going to be
father. All right, go on.
But, you know, there's something that I haven't been paying enough attention to, and it really ties back to some of the things that we're going to be going into in the news. But I'd like to spend a little more focus on the butthole and the butt in general.
You honestly had me. I thought you were really going to talk about something, and you are, but not this. But please continue, because it's lovely.
Listen, you know, as much as I want to keep... the Pope and his Popemobile safe, isolated and kept safe in a cushion. Speaking of Superman and his Kryptonian egg, like covered, right? In soft.
We have been ignoring the butthole.
We have been more ignoring the butthole and the entire booty in general. It also likes softness. It needs softness. It craves softness.
Yeah. Think how much time we spend on it.
Right. Like right now, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just kind of
on your butt. On your butt.
Like, and if it wasn't soft, it'd be itchy. And if it's itchy, that's not fun.
Instead, you could wear the lounge pants.
Yeah, instead, you know, get some MeUndies. Make it soft down there.
Yeah, make it soft. Keep it soft. Keep it happy, because a happy butt is a happy life.
A happy butt's a happy life. And I know we're not spiders, but where does the softest material outside of MeUndies micromodal come from? The butthole. Not of humans, but of insects.
Of the beechwood tree. Pulp
to yarn. My MeUndies, pulp to yarn. And you know what? If you do it just right, watch this. If you're on the screen, what is that? Little Jason's
butthole. It kind of does. If we put our hands together like that in a steeple, there is a little butthole entrance.
There's a right there. So I just want to say that, like, I want people to go to MeUndies today. I want you to go to MeUndies.com, and I want you to use offer code STUCK, and I want you to think about your butthole as you're doing it. Think about when you pick your colors. You know, if you're a big guy like me, maybe don't choose white for whatever reason.
But he's telling the truth, folks. This is why we have a certain success here. We don't lie about anything. Everything you're hearing is everything that happens on a daily basis. There's nothing here that doesn't happen when we're not here.
Right.
Right. It's true. And we wear MeUndies.
I would normally run into the room and go, shut up, but that's okay. But I seriously, get soft. Think about your booty. Think about what your booty would like to be sitting in today. It's a great day to get drunk, watch some TV, celebrate, or grieve. There might be a few of you out there grieving. I highly doubt that anybody listening to this show is grieving. But if you are, well, I'd like to meet you.
just get yourself a
go to MeUndies.com, offer code STUCK, get soft, free get shipping. Sensual, yes. Wear it all over yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, $19.99 a month for a membership. They'll just send you underwear every month. It's nothing. Free shipping. Nothing. And you'll have the best, most comfortable butt in the world.
That's right.
Guaranteed. Money back. Guaranteed.
Which leads me into this next story.
Thank you for letting us pay our bills. Jason Smith.
It was announced at long last.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Scientists announced that they have found and discovered the first perfect and unique, fully preserved dinosaur butthole.
You're just making this up, aren't you?
I'm not kidding.
This is really real?
This is real. From an article in Live Science, they said it's both perfect and unique. Under the article subheading reads, this was a multi-purpose hole.
That must have been a popular dinosaur.
Yeah. It could have been a colloquial vent. It might have been where they laid eggs, but they also... That was your in hole. That was your out hole. That was your pee hole. That was your poo hole.
And it was everything.
It was your everything hole. It's the what we call a perfect ancient butthole.
Wait, so they didn't have any other anatomical features other than a butthole?
No, I mean, something had to go in the butthole, but this was like the egg. This is like the, it was a multi-purpose hole. That's what they do believe.
Wow. Did they say what kind of dinosaur this was?
This was the, yes, they do. I got to just be able to pronounce it correctly. So let me.
No, it's fun if you don't.
It's the Pistacosaurus. It's P-S-I-T-T-A-C. Pistacosaurus.
Pistachiosaurus.
Mm-hmm. This is very close to, I guess, to a crocodile. This is very similar to a crocodile in some way. But yeah, this is, but the importance here is this isn't the first butthole ever found, but it's the first preserved, perfect, and unique butthole. And that's
where
why
they find this, by the way.
You know, if we all die and we're put to rest and we aren't put into, you know, and we, you know, whether you're in a coffin person or in the grave, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if we want to find preserved buttholes in the future, MeUndies is the only way there.
Amen. It can almost be like it's ambered in MeUndies.
That's right. In the amber glass MeUndies. All right.
But I want to know one thing. Where did they find this? Did
this
they tell you?
Found
in the article? Because while you're looking, I'm just going to say that I think, you know, what's interesting to me is, and by the way, it's a huge find, no pun intended. My thought is that if you're an archaeologist / paleontologist, I mean, like, do you want to be known for finding the perfect butthole, the perfect dinosaur butthole? Is that your legacy?
Yes.
Okay. Where do they find it?
I'm still looking, but I'm just saying, yes, I would love to be the finder of the first perfect butthole.
Well, you would be, but I'm saying if you actually went to college for, not like you didn't, because you did, but I'm saying if you went to college for 12 years to do this and then you're searching and that's what you find. By the way, I think it's amazing. I would want to be that person.
I think anybody would be stoked to find the most unique and perfect anything.
Anybody would be stoked. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious if it was in America.
I really say, I'll follow up on this with everybody. We'll collect this and we'll get this information there. But that's our first one. All right. So that's our butthole news. Speaking buttholes.
Jason's on a roll today.
Okay. So now I want to get into a little bit. I know we don't do complete news, right? And we're not going to start now.
Right.
But, part of, I don't know if you know this, but I think you probably do. Part of the presidential, when a president leaves office, one big part of it that happens within the last couple of days, normally like on the last day even, are the pardons, the presidential pardons. You want to get them out there right as you're leaving, because you're going to have, there's going to be some that are right, some that are wrong, some that are completely controversial, but it's something like you sign it real quick, you walk out the door, right?
It's going to be a shitstorm. Just get last second.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what president you are. It doesn't matter if, Republican, Democrat, perfect president, everybody from Bush to Reagan to Eisenhower to Obama all had controversial ones. A lot of them are just generally like people who are, people that were overcharged or are sitting in jail for things that have since been decriminalized, stuff like that. But there's a few of them.
Who this guy pardoned? Okay, tell me. I usually don't want to know, but I'm actually curious.
Well, I want to tell you actually a story. This is actually a story about somebody who didn't get pardoned just a little bit. But there are a couple people in there, because we don't get into the political people. But he did pardon Lil Wayne. He pardoned Kodak Black, who has been in jail for a little while. So he did pardon a couple rappers, Lil Wayne and Kodak Black. So they normally are not dealing with all their stuff. Here's the situation though. He did not, even though Donald Trump Jr., was kind of pushing, he did not pardon Joe Exotic.
Was Donald Trump Jr. pushing for Joe Exotic?
He was saying that he actually made a couple statements that he was going to, he wanted to extend a presidential pardon to Joe Exotic, and Joe Exotic was really hoping for it, had been really reaching out to the Trump administration. He thought he was a shoo-in for a pardon. Is it okay if I read you?
Yes. You have Joe to, Exotic's, please.
Joe Exotic's tweet, which I don't know how it's tweeting, but I thought you should know. I'll put it up on the screen for everybody, but I want to read it to you, because it's just perfect.
Bring it.
I was too innocent and too gay to deserve a pardon from Trump. I only mattered to Don Jr. when he needed to make a comment about me to boost his social media post. Boy, we were all so stupid. He actually believed he stood for equal justice. His corrupt friends all come first. Too innocent and too gay.
Too innocent and too gay. Right. That's why you're in jail, because you're too innocent and you're too gay.
Neither of those things are the reason you're in jail, sir. You're guilty and you abused animals. I'm sorry.
I mean, and obviously he's a self-loathing gay man, because I'm too gay. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's horrible. I hate that statement. Oh, and by the way, that's why you're not fucking pardoned. The statement
was, it's not self-hating. He was trying to, what he was accusing Trump of being a homophobe, right? He said he's too gay for Trump to pardon him. He's not saying he really is. That was definitely a reference to that. The too innocent part is what kills me.
Too innocent. Yeah. You were too innocent of shooting tigers in the head and burying them, or what? What was he too innocent of?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, giving meth to young boys and then driving them to suicide. I mean, what was this guy too innocent of? I mean, there's nothing innocent about this guy.
He didn't even sing that music that I thought I loved.
Oh, I know. That was the worst realization. That he wasn't singing those songs on top of that pickup truck.
Those songs. I was like, he can sing. I kind of like this. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Not fair. Not fair.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. First of all, you're not getting pardoned because you're too innocent. You're getting pardoned because no one is ever going to pardon you. Right. That's why you get a pardon. So obviously he's not too smart, And by the way, this is a guy who never should be pardoned. Just keep him fucking in jail. And so he pardoned some fucking people. Like Lil Wayne, I understand. He's always had a thing.
He got Lil Wayne to like be pro Trump, that platinum plan. There's a whole thing there that I won't get into, but like kind of offered this fake plan and showed it to a couple people in exchange for Lil Wayne kind of signing off on it. There came the pardon.
Yeah. So that was, but I didn't even know Lil Wayne was back in jail.
I don't think he is right now, but I think he caught a case.
Right, but now he's pardoned for everything. Right?
Yeah, federal. You can only pardon federal. So if there's any state charges, but anything federally charged, he can be pardoned for.
Right. Oh, okay. So, I mean, listen, you knew he was going to do it, right? I mean, that was, But this is it now. He's done, correct?
He's all done. And I'm gonna end the show with something special, but I wanna talk a little content. I have one last news article.
Yeah, bring it.
Because I think this is also very important and people should be aware of this. Mm. It's the plight of the there are certain mascots that are struggling right now, whether it's the fast food mascot, because he's giving everybody diabetes, or the Marlboro man who has since several lawsuits have been come over him because he basically is grooming young people to become cigarette smokers. And he's grooming. That's not okay. But the one I really want to talk about today is a young mascot named Punxsutawney Phil. Hmm. That's right. Punxsutawney Phil. You know who that is?
The groundhog.
The groundhog.
Yeah.
The groundhog for Groundhog Day. The groundhog that delivers Groundhog Day to all of us.
Yeah.
He is now on Cameo. For $80,
come on,
you can get a custom Punxsutawney Phil cameo right now.
What does he do?
Nothing. It's $80. He's a seer of seers, so you can like have him come out of a hole and say, is it your birthday again? And do some Yeah, it's stupid.
But they listen. Cameo has figured out how to monetize these sort of fringe celebrities in such a fascinating way that it's taken over. It's incredible. And you could have conversations with these people now if you want. If you're a fan of somebody, you can have a talk with them. Yeah, you can text them.
We got people to say some really random shit. We got Anthony Scaramucci to say like that he used Manscaped upon his balls once just for $40.
Love this. God bless Cameo. I mean, because what it really does is put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. This is all just a big joke. Okay. Yeah. No one's taking this any more seriously than you think we are. Okay. We love our jobs. We're very blessed, but let's not pretend it's something it's not. It's still, you put a lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig with lipstick.
Yep. Or a groundhog being held by a guy cosplaying as a young...
I mean, can you Abraham dress up Punxsutawney?
No, the guy dressed, he wears his top hat and he wears a little suit. So he looks like a young Abraham Lincoln.
Has he always done that? Is that his thing?
I think that's his thing. He does most of the talking and most of the things. This is really $80 for that guy to hold the fucking groundhog in front of the TV.
But I can't have him like dressed up as Princess Leia.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Right. Punxsutawney or the guy holding him?
No, no. Punxsutawney and then the guy holding him is dressed up as Luke.
I don't know if you, I wonder, I bet you $85. I don't even think it's a
160.
Big
league. 160.
Yeah, no, yeah, like
I think it's that big.
Even I bet it'd be, it's almost less if you ask for something custom, like 75, right? 40. Okay. $35. That's my $22. I got you. All right. I'll buy one, get one. No offer. All right.
Going?
So that's all my news. I wanted to give you a chance if there's any content you wanted to go with. Otherwise we can end a couple minutes early, but I got something I want to end on for about a minute.
And when thinking about content, I'm telling you that this Oval show is very, very much worth watching. And especially you're not even going to be able to get into the 25 episodes out of there for season one before season two drops.
Right. They're hour long dramas, right? So they're about 42 minutes, 46 minutes, somewhere in there.
Yeah. It's like full, like it's a packed show. they're exploring. I swear to God, they must have 37 series regulars.
Oh, wow.
Like, It's no joke. I mean, and it seems like multiple locations there, but they're on the lot.
Well, it seems like, I've always wondered this thing about shooting, and I guess it has a lot to do with writing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Maybe this is a good question to kind of end on is if you have a set, but you don't have access to that set all the time, the most cost-effective way, if you have everything written for the entire season, is to film everything at that set at the same time, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And then put it together later.
Right.
You have to be super organized and everything has to be written and you have to be sure of where you're going.
Yes. And that's what Ed was saying about how, they would shoot, 13 scenes from 5 different episodes and he's got to keep track of the emotionality and the trajectory of his arc, and the other characters' arcs that he's actually, speaking of or referring to. Yeah. So it's a pretty massive undertaking.
I mean, and it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of organization. It takes a lot of work on the actor's part, the director's part, got to have a vision. Like, I give Tyler Perry some credit. I'm sure he can shoot some things really, really cheap that way. You could probably put a lot of money in other places by organizing that kind of stuff in that way. I mean, it can't be easy on the actors, but at the same time, it must free up a little cash to do some fun stuff with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, Tyler Perry is not a billionaire by accident.
Right.
you know, he didn't happen onto it. I will say one thing, and then let's end with whatever you have, because I'm excited, because I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I started watching this show on Hulu. I think I told you about it, Brassic.
Yeah, Irish show.
Yes. And it's about this bipolar guy and his ragtag group of friends. It's R-rated. It's a dramedy. They're half-hour episodes. And so far, I have to say, I am thoroughly enjoying this show. Like, fantastic. Did you get a chance or no?
I mean, yeah, but I will. Okay. I was busy. Sometimes drama, you don't have to go outside for. You could just hang out at the house and it happens.
Oh, no, you did not say it.
No, never. Everything's fine.
Stephanie's not listening.
Nobody's listening to me. And that's the problem.
Okay, so whatever you have, I'm excited.
All right, I just wanted to end this. And I know that, again, we're not a political show, but it was just such a beautiful way she did it. I'd like to end this show today. We can do our sign off real quick, but Lady Gaga did the most haunting, beautiful version of the of our national anthem today for the inauguration.
I want to see that. I'll watch anything with Lady Gaga. I definitely want to see it. So should I say our sign off
and then we'll. And we'll do it.
So, barring Lady Gaga, so stick around. Everyone, stay safe, stay sane, stay strong. Jason Smith.
Cliff Dorfman, I love you, everybody. Happy Inauguration Day. We'll see you later. Let's just, we'll play you out with this little ditty. You might have heard of it before. It's called Our National Anthem. What? Oh, I'm just
kidding.
Boom. I don't know why I'm so weird.
I don't know, but I like it.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Right, you get those chills.
Got the chicken skin. Thank you for that. That was awesome.
You're very welcome. Bye, everybody. We're stuck at home.